Hi there, and welcome to the HVAC SEO PPC podcast. My name is William Payne, and I'm the president of HVAC SEO PPC. We're a digital agency that specializes in helping HVAC companies grow by getting their digital marketing and branding right. And when I say right, I mean making it so that you are the top of mind awareness in your geographic area when people are about to make a decision on hiring an HVAC company. And also making sure that the type of business you're attracting through these efforts are the most profitable jobs. We do this through a combination of traditional branding, digital strategies, including SEO, pay-per-click, display, social, and Google Business Profiles. We are going to go through in this podcast several different things that you can use to increase your visibility locally in your market for your home services business. One of the things that we've had huge success with lately with our customers really getting traction, getting their phone ringing right away is optimizing and really utilizing their Google Maps profile to the greatest extent that we can. That is the quickest way we found to go from, you know, not really getting any phone calls from the digital pipeline to getting a lot of phone calls from the digital pipeline. And that leads to happy customers, which we like. And so that is almost always where we try to start with new onboard customers, is to get that Google profile filled out correctly and start doing the stuff to it that helps with having it show higher in that grouping of businesses for, you know, the Google Map Pack, which is, you know, if you think about what you do online when you're getting ready to make a decision on a home services, or really probably just about anything, you probably start with Google, and you're going to Google something, whatever that service is, a near me search or a geographic search. We'll get into the near me searches here in a sec. And then you're probably going to find the businesses that come up in that. You may look for a name that you recognize. And if you want to know how to do that, that is a critical part in decision making. People trust businesses that they recognize. I've got a podcast on that as well. So dig around through the previous podcast and you'll find that one. But they're going to go through that. You're going to go through it. You're going to read reviews. You're going to sort by negative, probably. You're going to sort by, you know, most relevant. You're going to sort by most recent. And you're probably going to go to the website and you're going to read a little bit about them, see if you like them, see if the website seems like they're a legitimate company and a local business. And then you're going to put them in your list to call. In our experience, in many cases, we have multiple service providers in an area, and we will see that they'll get, you know, like two or three form fills from the same person within seconds of each other. And the reason is because the people have done their research with different tabs open in their browser or on their phone. And when they've made their decision and they know which company that they're going to reach out to, they pull up the contact form, paste in their message, their contact information, and click send, go to the next one, paste, send, go to the next one, paste, send. You know, typically they're going to do two or three that they liked the best in their ranking process that they did themselves before they decided to pull the trigger and call a local provider. From there, whoever calls them back fastest is probably going to get the business, unless they really drop the ball and, you know, the customer service representative is having a really bad day, or the phone doesn't get answered or something like that. But in most cases, if you answer the phone quickly and you're professional and polite and can get out to them, you know, quickly, depending on what your service is, if it's HVAC and their air conditioning is out or their kitchen is filling with water, obviously they're going to want very, very quick response for that. If it's something like pavers or window treatments or something along those lines, that's obviously less of an emergency situation. You can usually schedule them, you know, sometime out in the future, just as long as they can get it done within a reasonable amount of time. That's not going to cost you that business. So, that's where we start. So let's talk about, you know, the first thing with the Google Business Profile is to claim and complete your Google Business Profile. I think just about everybody I talk to these days has claimed their business profile. I think everybody once in a while will get a new company onboarded and they will not have claimed a Google Business Profile for themselves. that makes it pretty easy. It's usually quite a bit harder if they have had someone previously claim it and they don't know who that person is and they don't have access to the email address and things like that. That can be several hoops to jump through. If you're in that situation, you can certainly reach out to us. You can Google it, and try to, you know, try to figure out what the steps are to take there. Google does have steps. You can request different things to take over that business. And it can include sending you a postcard. There can be a variety of different things that you do in order to get that. Let's assume that you've already claimed it or do not have it claimed. And if it was claimed by somebody you don't have access to anymore, you know, certainly call us, or, you know, if you want to call somebody local that you trust that knows how to do Google business, that's certainly good too. But so you claim it. And I think the first thing that we do is we go through the profile and we start looking at how they're leveraging the keywords in the profile. You know, your about us, you know, I don't remember exactly how many characters that they allow in your about us, but you should use absolutely all the characters that you can. You should have a nice tight keyword list of the keywords that are appropriate to your business, and then use those keywords in your profile in a natural way. You don't want to look like you're keyword stuffing. But if you do window treatments or AC repair or AC replacement or plumbing repair or garage floor coatings, something like that, be sure to put that in the profile or in the About Us content. There's a services section, there's a product section. If you're a product-based company like a window service or a window treatment company, put your manufacturers in there, put your different products in there, plantation shutters, you know, fabric blinds, verticals, whatever the different things are that you do, awnings. A lot of our window treatment companies also do outdoor awnings. Put all that stuff in there. Every product that you can think that you have, get them in the products. Service-based companies, AC, you know, for instance, or you know, electrician, plumbers, get those services in there. Every single service that you do. A lot of our HVAC companies also do on-demand generators or whole home generators. Several of them do propane as well. So get your propane in there. Whatever the different things are that you do, get them all in there. The key there is to get a lot of content there for Google, because that's what Google likes. That their bot and their database just really, really loves good, rich, helpful content. And so that's why you don't want to keyword stuff. You want your about us to be helpful. So if somebody gets to the thing and they're reading about your company before they go to your website, make sure that content is helpful for some person that's, say, just moved to your area. We're in East Central Florida. Our area right now is really experiencing a boom in growth. And so we have a lot of people that are moving to the area that don't know anyone. They don't have really a lot of, you know, sort of, they don't have a network that they can use word of mouth. And so they really just have to rely on Google, and they, like I said, they go, they read the reviews, they read about us, they look at the website, they see if they like you, and then they pick up the phone and they call you, or they fill out the form on your website. So you definitely want to make sure that profile, every bit of data that they will allow you to put in there that is relevant to your business, put it in there. I cannot stress enough how important that is, for you to start ranking well. It's not going to, just that alone is not going to do it overnight. But that is a critical component of it. And so we start there, claim it, complete the whole business profile, and make sure that it has relevant, helpful information to your business, and specifically what someone that is looking for your business is going to need to find out. So the number two item we have on how to rank in Google Maps is posting relevant photos. One of the easiest ways for you to, you know, to update your Google Map listing or your Google business profile, which is what Google calls it these days. A really easy way is to just take pictures of whatever it is that you're doing on the phone. Make sure that they're nice looking, regardless of whatever your business is. If you've got if you're in the plumbing business and you've got, you know, some serious water damage, don't post a picture of that. I think I personally don't like that kind of thing, because I feel like it has a sort of a negative reaction. And I don't know if you've listened to the branding podcast that I did a few months ago. It's if you evoke a negative reaction in someone when they are experiencing your brand for the first time or for the 100th time, it can negatively affect them psychologically when they think of your brand. So you never want to have a negative associated with your brand. A great example of this is pest control companies. If you have a pest control company and you have pictures of roaches in your advertising, stop it. Get rid of your advertising agency. People hate roaches. They have a visceral, not just roaches, spiders, any kind of creepy crawly. People have a deep-seated, like, caveman-level hatred for those things. It means an unclean environment. It is really, really deeply in who we are and in our brains. And I know for myself, like, you know, I live in Florida, so we have palmetto bugs. The palmetto bugs are giants. So we have hardwood floors in our house, and there's a little dark spot on one of the hardwood floors that I walk by all the time, and it always gets my attention because it's about the shape of a palmetto bug, and that is how deeply ingrained in my brain that sort of hatred for palmetto bugs is. And you do not want to have that reaction going on in somebody's brain at the same time they're experiencing your brand, because it puts a negative in their mind about your brand, regardless of how ridiculous it is. We have a pest control company here locally that's a really good client. And one of the first things we had to do when we took over that client was take all the creepy crawlies off their site. If you want to have a page that is dedicated to the bugs that we remove, and you have like sort of clinical photographs of the different bugs, I think that's, you can do that. I know some of the big guys do that, but if you look at what the big guys lead with in the pest control vertical, it is not pictures of bugs. It is pictures of clean houses, white trucks, clean service people, you know, providing stuff around entry points like windows and things like that. Those are all the kind of things that make people feel solid and comfortable about the services that you're providing. So you always want to show that. So back to the plumbing thing, don't show the damaged, you know, the damaged plumbing. If you maybe you could maybe do a before and after, but definitely put the after in there. And show, hey, this is what this looked like when we got done, nice clean, you know, nice cleanly installed PVC. Whatever the different things are, window treatments, put the great pictures of the windows. The phones are so good now. I mean, I've got mine sitting here. Unfortunately, it's pretty much always right in front of me. I don't even take the DSLR out on site anymore. It's just such a pain to get the photos off of it. And if you've got a modern smartphone, I've got an iPhone. I'm going to say it's like a 13 or something. It takes unbelievable photographs. It just does such a good job. The video is really good. It's got an internal stabilizing software in it, so it looks like it's like a Steadicam when I'm walking through a space. I cannot say enough. So just grab your phone, take pictures of whatever it is, the things that you're doing. Keep in mind that you want them to be positive, good things, actually part of your business. Don't take pictures of the office dog. You can do that once in a while, but make sure that the most of the pictures that you put in your profile are relevant to the actual business that you're doing. And when you're thinking of business you're doing, think of the keywords. So whatever your keywords are, those are the type of photos that you want to take. If you're taking pictures in someone's location, like in their house or their business, you want it to be anonymous. You don't want to show house numbers or license plates or, you know, mail on a table or family photos. One of our clients is a window treatment guy, and he and all of his staff is super careful when they're taking pictures of their installs. They always take it from an angle that they're not showing any family photos, because you don't want to take a chance of showing something inside somebody's house that they're going to be able to be identifiable with. It's just these days on the internet, unfortunately, it's just not something that you can really do. And people can have a negative reaction to it, and you know, you just don't want that. So just be careful about kind of how you're taking the pictures and things like that. If you're an HVAC company and you got an outdoor install, you know, when one of your techs does one that's on a nice paver pad or something like that, get a picture of that thing. They got nice looking grass around it or nice looking landscaping. That's what you want. Take those pictures. You can, like I said, you can do the office dog once in a while, but the reason you don't want to do too much of that is because Google's, you know, their AI now can look at these photos and identify what they are. And there, if they see a bunch of dogs in your profile, or they see a bunch of, I don't know, anything that's, you know, sort of not in your line of business, it's going to confuse the algorithm as to what it is that you're trying to rank for. So just try to keep your relevant photos to be a vast, vast majority of the photos that are in your profile. So the next thing I think that you want to do with the pictures is you want to do something called geotagging them. I'm pretty sure that's the term for it. But either way, there's metadata that, you can put into a JPEG or whatever. This thing takes HEICs or something like that. It will record the location of your phone. So we get photos from clients from once in a while. Actually, we get them quite a bit. We'd like to get them more, but we often have to kind of get out there and take them ourselves, which we're fine doing because that's, you know, that's part of the job. So we always scan them to see if there's, longitude and latitude information in. Sometimes there is. And if there is, we leave it in there. If there's not, we put it in, to their service locations. If it's a service-based company, which is mostly what we deal with, that it's going to be, they don't have a physical location, but like, say, for instance, our window treatment, they are service-based, but they also have a showroom and a design studio and things like that. And so we put them on their physical location all the time so that people know where that is. That stuff is not available after Google takes in the data. Once they take the photo, they parse the photo and they put it in your profile, that data all gets stripped out because they don't want to take any chances of them violating your privacy by telling people where you are. But they, I'm sure that they look at that data because why wouldn't they? That is 100% what their business is it's all about data. So if there's longitude and latitude in there, they're going to keep it in their database about your company, or they're going to do something with it. They're at least going to weight it in some way. So we do that with the photos. We feel like that's a best practice. I think those are kind of the two main things with photos. Once you've got all the photos, I would say take those, also put them out on Facebook. You know, we know that Google crawls the social media things. It's looking at all of the stuff on Facebook at the same time that you're doing your Google Business Profile, your About Us, your products, your services, all that stuff. Go ahead and take that time and put all that content in your social media profiles as well, because it's all valuable there as well. And then take those pictures and put them, use them as posts. I did another Google Maps thing a few months ago, but it's definitely bears repeating. People don't realize when you're in the Google Business in the Google Business Profile interface, once you've claimed your listing and you're logged in under that user, you're going to see a make updates thing. It's like a little icon that's in. You get a whole group of icons that goes above your map listing in the Google Business Profile when you're logged in as the business owner. One of them is, you know, add an update or something like that. It's update. What that is, you click on it, you can bring up an area where you can, it's basically just like a Facebook post. You can put a picture in there, you can put some type in there. It takes a ton of type. I don't remember how much you can put in, but it's hundreds of words. And I think it is. Well, I won't go and look now, but it's a lot. It's as much as you need to put in there. Take each one of those photos that you posted to your photos. Also make it a post. Type in, you know, as much content as you can put out using your keywords, you know, whatever it is. If it's a sink installation or something in a shower or tub or something like that, or it's a window treatment, HVAC install, you know, electrical, you know, swapping out an electrical panel. All of those things are the keywords that you should be targeting and include them in that post. You can include a link to the relevant page on your website. There's value in that. And if you should absolutely have a page for every one of your keyword service products, whatever they are, each one of your keywords, you should have a page on your website that's optimized for that keyword. So you want to go ahead and put that post in there. Make regular posts. For our baseline Google Business Profile clients, we do 8 posts a month that are constantly going up. We take those posts and also post photographs with them, and that's so that we're constantly putting information out there on, you know, out there in their Google Business Profile, because Google, they have so much information that they have to take in from local businesses, and it's very difficult for them to do it. The first place that they're likely to look is in their products. And so if you're using your Google Business Profile on a regular basis to update your content, to use your keywords, they are going to like that, and they're going to rank you above other people that are not doing that, that just have a business name and an address in there. The richer and fuller your Google Business Profile is with the photo, with your all of the data that they let you put in, the photos that are in there, the geotagged photos, I should say, that are in there, and the regular posts, the better it's going to be. So the number five thing that I have on the list here is to optimize the website and social media for your location. So basically what you want to do on your website, this is kind of the near me search. This is what everybody, we had one of our HVAC clients call us the other day and said, hey, you know, I was just doing voice search. And of course, you know, I did the near me, and are we optimized for near me? And I was glad I could say, yes, we optimize for the near me searches. Specifically what we do is we look at the group in our area. There's about 8 municipalities that we really want to target. There's probably about 12 total, but 4 of them are pretty small, and you can optimize for the ones that are around them, and it'll pick those up as well. So the major metropolitan or the major municipalities that are in your area that you serve, and don't try to overdo this. If you're in a major metropolitan area that, you know, say you've got, you know, like 3 million people or something like that, you're in a, you know, the cities that I'm familiar with would be like, you know, Miami, Tampa, Orlando, Atlanta, Jacksonville. By saying, hey, yes, do you cover the whole area? Absolutely. But for your Google map or your Google business profile, try to concentrate on the ones that are closest for you and the easiest for you to service, because you're going to have an easier time competing against people that are farther away from those locations. Then, so somebody that's across town in a town of a million, they're going to do better in their municipality than you're going to do in their municipality, and vice versa. And so optimize for your municipality first. Absolutely try to get those people that are on your side of town, the 500,000 people that are on your side of town, or whoever it is that's in your closest geographic area. And the reason is not only because it's easier for you to rank in Google Maps for those locations because you're physically located there, and Google knows that, you know, they know, you know, they scan all kinds of stuff that they know where you are, from your IP address to the location of your device to any number of ways for them to know. And the incorporation for your business, things like that. They look at all of that stuff. So they know where you're physically located, chances are. That gives you a huge advantage for that area. The other advantage that it gives you is that it's easier for you to service customers in those locations, particularly, you know, home services companies that are going out to see the clients. If you don't have to drive 45 minutes to get across town, you can just drive 10 minutes. Your service guys can do more in more service calls in a day, use less gas, use less mileage, wear and tear on the vehicles. It's a win-win. So if you can really start dominating the specific municipality that you're in, assuming there's enough people to keep your service techs busy, that is absolutely the place that you should start. There's so much value from ranking higher in Maps, but then also actually servicing the business in a more efficient and economical way. So optimize for your location first. Obviously add the other ones. Like I said, we're in a smaller geographic area. So our local clients, we have clients that are in the larger areas, and we do the what I just finished saying. For this area, we optimize for those 8 municipalities. For each one of those, we're going to have a primary service primary service keyword. So, you know, we're working on an AC company right now, and we are going to do, you know, AC heating and repair service. I can't remember exactly what the keyword is. AC heating repair and replacement service in Flagler County, Florida. So we're going to pick up the whole counties. We're going to pick up the bi-county area, which is what we have. And then we're going to pick up the municipalities that are in there. So we're going to do that we'll pick a different keyword that's similar and do Daytona Beach. We're going to do Ormond Beach. We're going to do, we're going to do Port Orange. That's a bigger one where a lot of people are moving into. You get the idea. So we're going to do that for each one of their pages. And that's what that means when it says optimize your website and your social media for your location. So you want to have those keyword pages for the locations that you're trying to rank for. You can try to do the near me, but if you think about how Google is going to parse that information, if you say XYZ near me, if you say, you know, window treatments near me, the first thing that the you know Google is going to do is it's going to look where you are, and then it's going to search for window treatment companies that are in the municipality that you're serving. And so the near me search is not as valuable as putting the actual municipality that you're trying to service in. So get that keyword content on the website, get the geographic content on the website, and then link them from a main place in the nav. Don't bury those links. You want to have them right up in the nav. Service areas, whatever it is, and then put all that stuff right in there so it's easy for Google to get to and to crawl those pages. You need to submit them to the Search Console and all that different stuff. But at the very least, have them on the website and put them in the main navigation. So that's what that means, optimizing your website, you know, for your location. So the next one, which also goes to kind of optimizing your website as your location, number six is on how do I rank in Google Maps. Number six is embed the Google Map on your contact page. So if you go to your Google Business, you click on the map, you're gonna see like a share icon, and it's gonna give you an option to embed this map, and it gives you a little iframe. And if you have a WordPress website, which most people have WordPress websites, so you have some kind of content management system through a niche specific site that you have, then put that iframe in there. Google looks at where those iframes are coming from, like where it's sending that iframe data, and it's gonna crawl the page, it's gonna look at all that local information, and that's gonna have a real positive impact on your local search using your website combined with your Google Business profile. That just kind of adds all that stuff together, and it's sort of a force multiplier. So the next thing on how do I rank in Google Maps is number seven, is pay attention to your reviews and respond to them. So when you've claimed and set up your Google Business profile, hopefully you used an email address that you see the email. It's not a junk mail address. If it is a junk address or your spam email address, set up a rule in your email software to push these notifications that are coming from Google Business about reviews or questions or any of those kind of things that come from Google Business. Set up a rule that sends those to your main inbox and that you see them, or it puts a notification on the phone or something like that, so that you will see those things when they come in real time. It doesn't take that much time. We see them here, internally in our operations for, you know, dozens and dozens of clients. And, it's really, really quick and easy way for us to just sort through the emails when we're in the part of the day where we're dealing with that client's, you know, Google Business profile. We're going to go in and we're going to respond to all those reviews. Good or bad. And I have another podcast on this, but I'm going to go ahead and repeat it because it's really, really valuable. So a good review, obviously, it's a pretty easy thing to respond to. You want to just say, hey, you know, thanks for, if you do multiple services, like the HVAC companies, for instance, that we have that also do propane and they do whole home generators and they do, you know, maybe a few different services. We have one company that does electrical, plumbing, HVAC, propane, and the whole home generators. And so it can be kind of, and they do indoor air quality as well. It can be difficult to know what service, if the person that's leaving the review doesn't call it out, it can be hard for us to know what it was that they, what service they provided. And so you don't want to guess, because it's going to turn people off. If that person, it's going to look really spammy to them. And they might pull the review because they're just like their ick factor or whatever. So if you don't know by their name what you did for them and it doesn't say what you did for them, I would absolutely recommend just saying, hey, we really appreciate you choosing, you know, use your business name, to service your home or, you know, to solve your problem or whatever it is. And thank you so much for taking the time to leave us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. They're super important, you know, yada, yada, yada. And type that out. You know, I would recommend not copying and pasting the same thing over and over again. If you are going to copy and paste them, if you want to keep something, you know, like a Word document on your desktop that allows you to copy and paste easily, you can do that. Just have several of them, because you don't want to have the same canned response, because when people are looking through that, it's going to look like, It's going to look like there's a term astroturfing, which is basically kind of trying to make yourself look better than you are in your Google reviews. I don't think that this is necessarily falls under astroturfing, but it definitely does not look genuine, sincere, legitimate, you know, and so you want to stay away from it. You want to look like you're actually doing this. And so, you know, just type it in. Thanks so much for doing it. Now, if they do leave you what service that they did, or you know what service you provided for them because of their name, absolutely put it in there. This is something else that Google does, is they look for what your, you know, what they scour these reviews for keywords. They scour your questions for keywords. They scour anything that they have in their product. They're going to scour that for keywords first because it's really easy for them to do. And so get those keywords in there. If you did, you know, if you did plantation shutters for somebody and you're, you know, your window treatment company, if you did an AC install, if you redid somebody's bathroom, if, you know, whatever they are, put it in there. Say, you know, thanks for choosing us for your bathroom remodel. It was a pleasure working with you, you know, and again, thank them for that 5-star review, you know, because they are really important. It's super, super valuable, for you to get these reviews, because they not only rank you higher up, but then people read them and it helps with your conversion factor. So, the next thing I'm going to talk about is the negative review. Most of our clients don't get them a whole lot. The clients that do get them are usually the bigger ones that have a bunch of vehicles on the road. And either it's a mistake, or, you know, stuff happens, and, you know, it's possible that one of their drivers did something that made somebody mad in traffic and possibly didn't even know. It does not happen with most of our clients most of the time, but we do get occasional negative reviews. You have to respond to those as well. And a good response, typically, if you know it's bogus, like for instance, if you don't have anybody by that customer name, or there was nobody out, like one of the ones we got for somebody a few months ago was, hey, we scheduled this 8:30 a.m. appointment. They never showed up. They never called. They gave us a 2-hour window, and I was sitting stuck at home for 2 hours and never heard anything. And then when I called them, they wouldn't answer the phone. And they were able to look at like what the information in that review was. And they knew that that was not them. And there was somebody in town that has a very similar name to them. And so it's possible it was them. We're not really sure, but basically the response was, we don't have any record for this having happened, but if this did happen, we certainly apologize. Please call the office. We want to do everything to make this right. There was another case where there was a miscommunication between the service technician and the client when they were out working on their home, and the customer thought that it was going to be a lot less expensive than it ended up being, and they were very upset about that. And the technician was not. He's not empowered to make any change in the pricing. He did what he did. He knew what he was supposed to charge for that. It was X amount of time. It was X amount of parts, you know, labor, yada, yada, yada. And that's what he billed for. Well, in the response, we said, please call the office. You know, we certainly feel like this is a misunderstanding, but we'd like to make it right. And they did. I think they actually reduced the invoice, because it was a legitimate misunderstanding all the way around. And it probably should have been cleared with headquarters before, or the customer or whatever, before the charge was billed. And they reduced it, and the person immediately changed the review to being a positive review. They left the original review, I think, in there, and they said, hey, we just wanted to give an update on this. They did a great job, you know, making us happy, and we've, you know, our problem is solved, and it ended up being what we expected it to be. So that's awesome. You know, that's a really, really good review. So there's that value in responding to a negative review as well. That doesn't happen most of the time. I've seen it happen a few times when you respond to a negative review. Most of the time, the person never sees the response. You're not really responding to them anyway. You're responding to the next person that comes and reads the review. Like we talked about at the beginning of the How Do I Rank in Google Maps, you know, episode here. You know, people go to your Google Map listing. They read the reviews first. You know, they're going to then read about your company. They're going to read the negative reviews. They're going to read the positive reviews. They're going to read the most recent reviews, most relevant reviews. They're going to sort from every way that they can think of sorting. And then they're going to go to your website, you know, and they're going to call you. So you're really responding to that negative review for them. People understand that when you're in a service business that you're going to get some negative reviews sometimes. I mean, we're all human beings. Everything doesn't always work out the way that you expect it to work out. And so it's fine. You know, you can have those negative reviews. You don't want a huge amount of negative reviews. There's actually been studies done that 5 stars as your overall ranking on Google Maps is not as good as like 4.7 stars or 4.8 stars. We don't really pay that much attention to that because there's nothing we can really do to control that. You know, people are going to give you what they want, but you definitely don't want a 3-star average or 3.5-star average. You want something over 4 stars. And, you know, just get those reviews, ask for the reviews, respond to them. You're going to get a negative one once in a while. Don't worry about keywords in that one. Just respond to it. One of the things that I've learned over the years is, don't use the pronoun you, if you can get around it. You don't want to sound super weird, but, if you can just refer to the issue as opposed to the person. So instead of saying, you know, I can't think of an example right now, but instead of saying you this, say the problem this, or the service provided this, or the misunderstanding, you know, yada yada yada. Try not to use the word you, because it can sound pretty aggressive, and it can kind of put people off, and it can make you sound aggressive or defensive to that next person that's reading the review. So you don't want to sound too weird and stilted, but if you can find a normal kind of a conversational way to say it. We're real good at it now. I've written a lot of these things and I've gotten pretty good. I'm kind of embarrassed. I can't think of an example right now, but I've gotten real good at finding ways to work around the word you in the responding to negative reviews. And so just try to stay away from it if you can. So just think about that. Just put that as a little sort of red flag. I'm getting ready to say, you did this. And you should probably say, the problem was this, you know, instead, because it's a lot less sort of defensive or aggressive sounding. So those are the ways to do it. Number 8 on how do I rank in Google Maps. And I struggled with whether or not I was going to include this one, because this one is really, really fussy. Most business owners are not going to be able to do this for themselves, but it's worth mentioning. Because if you do have somebody that's managing your search engine optimization, this is something that they should be doing. I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast do have somebody working for them. I've certainly had some listeners reach out and call us, and we appreciate it. And, we've picked up some clients from the podcast, which has been really, really great. I really appreciate that. So if you're working with us, you don't have to worry about this. If you're listening and you're one of our customers, but if you're not sure, you know, cause it can be hard to know in the sort of digital realm, if the group that's doing the work for you is doing a good job, this is one that you can ask them. There's a thing called schema, that Google uses to determine what kind of business you are. There's a bunch of different kinds of schema, that are out there, schema. So, Google SEO. Sorry, this is not something I have to do a lot these days. I have a sort of different role in the business, but so there's organizational schema, there's product page, there's job listing, there's event page, there's video page, there's how to, there's FAQ. There's a bunch of them. But one of them is local business, and you want to have a local business schema on the website, certainly on your homepage. You know, you want to make sure that you're using the right type of schema. That is about as far as I'm going to go into the schema thing, because it is pretty technical. And I know a lot of my listeners are driving when they're listening to this thing. I don't want to put anybody to sleep. So schema, it's S-C-H-E-M-A, and you can Google it and see if that's something that's being done on your website. If you are super technical and you feel comfortable kind of wading in and doing this stuff, just go out. There's a million places online that you can find out how to implement this properly. I think Google actually, for a long time, Google had straight up instructions on how to properly use schema the way that they like to see it. So, you know, if you can get it directly from them, you know, go for it. There's a lot of other, you know, reliable sources online for search engine optimization that you can look at, and they're going to explain exactly how to use schema for a local business to increase your ranking. That will not increase your ranking on your Google business profile, but like I was talking about in going back and forth. So linking from a post to the service page where that's keyword optimized for the stuff that's on that post. That's all the kind of thing that's going to have an advantage in ranking your website and your Google business profile, because all of it is kind of working together as a unit. So I think that pretty much covers it. If you've got any questions or you want to discuss how we can do this for your company, give me a call. We're HVACSEOPPC.com, and we do this for local service companies, primarily HVAC companies, but we also do a great job for pest control, electricians, plumbers, window treatments, that kind of thing. So if you have a home services company and you're interested in increasing the amount of leads that you're getting through your website, give us a call and let us sit down and have a strategy session to discuss how we can help you make more money and make your phone ring. Thanks. I appreciate it.